Welcome to today's worship service. Let us sing together, God of Our Strength, a song by Fanny Crosby. It's number 36 in the Blue Book.
God of Our Strength, enthroned above, the source of life, the fount of love. Oh, let devotion's sacred flame our souls awake to praise Thy name. God of Our Strength, we wait on Thee, our sure defense forever. Joyful eyes, to Thee our wings of faith we rise. Come Thou and let Thy courts on earth ring out Thy praise in days of birth. God of Our Strength, we wait on Thee, our sure defense forever. Strength from day to day, direct our thoughts and guide our way. Oh, may our hearts united be in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee. God of Our Strength, we wait on Thee, our sure defense forever. Strength, on Thee we call, God of our hope, our light, our all. Thy name we praise, Thy love adore, our rock, our shield forevermore. God of Our Strength, we wait on Thee, our sure defense forever.
Good morning and welcome to the service of Zion Mennonite Church. We trust that in our taking time away from our other activities, from all of the other things that draw our attention, that intrigue us, that interest us, and that even teach us, that in our choosing to come together to hear words of Scripture, to pray together, to sing together, and to open our minds to what God is saying to us, that this would be a transformative practice, that we would become the people that God loves for us to be. Not always straining to try and be better, be best, you know, these sayings that we find out in the world. That is not God's desire for us. God's desire is for us to become more and more like Jesus, the example that we saw when He lived here among us on earth. It's not just a simple habit. Oh, it's a good habit to go to church on Sunday or to worship on Sunday in a different location. So with those things in mind and that expectation, that anticipation that something is going to change, something is going to take root, to grow, to evolve. Maybe not quickly, maybe not instantly, but these are the seeds that can be planted in good soil. That is our desire as we come as a community of faith together in worship. I'd like to start by reading Psalm 138. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. What a wonderful phrase, my strength of soul. That reaches us at a depth that our usual daily habits cannot even touch. We live at the surface, but here we're invited to go deeper, to go with the psalmist and say, that is where God speaks to me. For those of you who have the Hymnal of Worship book, I will be reading the call to worship from 680. Here it's written as a prayer, but let's hear it as our call. Come, come to worship God. God of all life, we thank you for the signs of your love that surround us, for sun and warmth and all that comes to life within creation, for all that sleeps within the earth awaiting birth. We praise you for the wisdom of your care, water on the earth, sunlight on our spirits, hands on blinded eyes. Continue to touch us. Reach out to us with compassion and forgiveness, that we may receive your gifts, that we may know your love and grace and rise to new life in Jesus Christ. Please bow with me in prayer. Sovereign Creator of earth and sky, Savior always with us, Spirit sweeping over the waters, renew our hearts today. Surround us with grace. Fill us with wonder and awe so that we may honor you with our gifts of love and praise and worship you with our whole life. Amen.
Let's take our green book and turn to the song Loving Spirit. It's number 34 in the Sing the Journey, and it's written by Irena Murray, Shirley Irena Murray, and the melody is an old melody from 1631 from Germany. If you're able to, stand and take a deep breath and sing along.
I may rest. Love. have set your sign on me.
The next song we want to sing is in our blue book, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow. It's 342. And the text is by Caroline M. Noel, and the music by Rafe Vaughan Williams. Let's sing heartily. If we can, we'll stay standing and sing along.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess Him, King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure we should call Him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word. At His voice creation sprang at once to sight, for the angel faces, all the hosts of light, thrones and dominations, stars upon their way, all the heavenly orders in their great array. Humbled for us, to receive a name from the lips of sinners unto whom He came. Faithfully He bore it, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious when from death He passed. Your hearts enthrone Him, let them then subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown Him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let His will enfold you in its might and power. Christians, this Lord Jesus shall return again with His Father's glory, with His angel train, for all wreaths of empire meet upon His brow, and our hearts confess Him King of glory now.
As we approach the year end for our financial institution here at Zion, we thank God for God's faithfulness to us and for your faithfulness in giving, contributing to the work that we together have agreed on as a body. Your offerings can be deposited here at the church throughout the week or online. Please bow with me for the offering prayer. God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the rich diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other, to be servants to others with joy, to share our love and material possessions. Let us rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The next song we're going to sing comes right out of the text of 1 Peter, which we're hearing today. And the song comes from the Sing and Rejoice book, which we had years back, and it's written by Marilyn Houser Ham.
Behold, the Lord has called his children his own, and with our risen Lord we are living stones, living stones, living stones, to build up the kingdom, living stones. Behold, the Lord has called his children his own, to build up the kingdom, living stones. Behold, what a pleasant and beautiful sight are those who have come from their darkness to light, living stones, living stones. Living stones, to build up the kingdom, living stones, molded to oneness, a growing seed, to build up the kingdom, living stones.
Please pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us sing together, For the Healing of the Nations. It's number 367 in the Blue Book, and it's in the Praying for the World section. And that's what we want to do through this song.
Status, grace, or schooling, dogmas that are obscure your plan. In a common quest for justice, may we hallow life's brief span. You Creator God have written your great name on humankind. For a growing in your likeness, bring the life of Christ to mind, that by our response and service of its destiny may find.
I will be reading from 1 Peter 1, verses 25 to chapter 2, verses 5. Followed by Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. But the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is the good news that was announced to you. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord, and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God.
Good morning and welcome to Zion Mennonite Church, both near and far. And I say both because we are meeting in two locations, or I should say many. You who have chosen to worship in remote locations are our satellite congregations. This is how church plants begin, when people who have been trained and nourished in the church center, the mother church, and then they move on from there, taking what they have learned, how they have grown, and they, in their own location, at their home, in their neighborhood, in a new setting, they begin a new church plant. It's very exciting if we think about it that way. It's a possibility. Not just waiting until everybody is sitting here together where we first began, but rather that more churches would be sprouting up. Oh, that's terribly exciting. And it goes actually together with what I want to speak about. And my subject, or my title, the heading, is The New Normal. And for lots of people, that just brings groans because we're tired of this new normal. And we hear the phrase and it just means limitations and stop this, don't do that, don't go here, and all of those kinds of things. But let's spin it. Let's take it, recognize it, and say, we are going to use this phrase, which has become so common and conjures up all sorts of ideas already for us, and let's use it for our benefit, for our teaching, for our expansion of ideas. Think about it the way that the early songwriters used to write their hymns. We just open up the hymn book and we think, okay, turn to number blah, 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 and sing this song. And if you go back into the history, recognizing that so many of those songs began as ballads that were sung in the bars or in the sports stadium or war songs, really commonly known ideas put to song, and then you switch it out and put more meaning into it, or a spiritual meaning behind it. And suddenly the world just opens up and you see something completely different. That's what I want to invite us to do today, to take the new normal, the idea of the new normal, and switch out the way we used to think about something for something else. That we resolve on a new normal. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the new normal, I want to use two different passages, scripture passages, to focus on these ideas. The first one is found in Romans 14, verses 1 to 12, and the second is 1 Peter 1, verse 25, through to chapter 2, verse 5. And the Romans passage was in the lectionary for this Sunday, and the 1 Peter passage was the passage that was chosen 2 years ago for this Sunday. And this was actually on our radio broadcast a couple of weeks ago. But looking at both of these texts, I recognized their interconnectedness and how, when they are put together, we can recognize a new idea from those two. But first of all, let's talk about the elephant in the room. You may be tired of talking about this elephant already, but let's just give it a little bit of time, recognizing that there are a lot of things that we are worried about in general. And first of all, name it, worried about the pandemic. And your worry or your concern or your thought about it might be different than someone else's. Some people are very concerned about the possibility that it could kill them. Others are not so concerned about that, but when will I get to go back to school? When can my business start up? How will I suffer economically because of this? How will my family suffer? How will the country change because of this? How will travel change because of this? What about healthcare workers? I have a brother who is in healthcare in Manitoba, and I keep checking online to see how many cases they have and how close he is to this pandemic. And it's very concerning. So in addition to this, this is just the biggest and the most recent. But there's the economy and the future. What does the future look like? Or what is my health look like? How much of a future do I have? What about my job? What about my relationship with my family or my spouse or my past? Or there's just so many things that we can and in fact do worry about. And sometimes once we've tired of worrying about ourselves, we begin to worry for others. We think about our family and our friends and our neighbors and their lives and their life choices, and what is their future going to look like. But sometimes that worry and that genuine, heartfelt concern for others changes from worry and it becomes something else. And sometimes when we are worried about others, we become worried about their opinions and their choices. See how that shift has taken place? It starts with, what will their future be like? We want the best for them. And it evolves, I should say devolves, down into something less noble and less hopeful. And we become worried about the thought process, the opinions, and the choices that other people make. Now, I'm broadening this out, not only our family members and those we love, but those that we associate with, those with whom we come into contact. Now let's move into Romans chapter 14. So we were ready to talk about the things that we are worried about. Now I'd like us to consider the opinions we are worried about. Looking at Romans 14, 1 to 12, Paul starts off by saying, "Welcome those who are weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe about this and others believe that." I don't want to read this because if you're reading the text, you'll see that Paul is talking about those who are weak, only eating vegetables. And I, as a moderate vegetarian, I wouldn't consider myself weak because I choose not to eat certain things. In fact, usually that's the case. The people who restrict themselves or have a more austere focus in life think they are stronger. And sometimes that develops into thinking maybe a little more spiritual or a little closer to God because I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this. And so Paul says those are actually the weak ones. But welcome everyone. You're all going to have different opinions. And there are two points that he makes. He says, don't welcome people just so that you can despise their opinion and their choices. Whether you are looking at someone else and saying, why does he do that? Why does she do this? Or the opposite, why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't she do that? And using these differences and our worry about these differences to despise our brothers and sisters or others that we come into contact with. And the second thing that's connected to it is passing judgment on them because of those exact choices. And the examples that Paul uses, you know, he's talking about the things you eat or don't eat. The days that you say are more important than another day. These are things that were sacrosanct, really, so incredibly important to the Jewish tradition. And, well, you can look back in the Old Testament, you can find a whole bunch of scriptures that would support you. And Paul says, don't be so focused on these opinions and choices of other people just for the sake of despising them or passing judgment on them. Worry about what is in yourself first. Take out what is the log in your eye, which would be then the despising and the passing judgment. Take that out of yourself first. And then suddenly, all of these choices that other people are making seem so much less important. The heart of it, Paul says, is because these people are making these choices and they will answer for their choices. They choose this for their own reason. They have a master that they will answer to. Your Lord and your master is the one you will answer to. We had been told a brief story at Women in Mission a few weeks ago, and Hilda France mentioned that her grandmother had chosen to help someone that was so down and out and despised in society. And her family says, no, don't help this one. Don't deal with him. And she said, I have to, because one day I will stand before my maker and I will have to answer for how I treated this person. So considering the new normal, let's determine to switch out those bad habits rather than trying to get everyone to conform to our choices. Let's simply recognize they will answer for their own before their Lord and Master. I am not the boss of them. So those are some things, some opinions we may find ourselves worried about. So let's switch over to 1 Peter now for a second and think about the things that we don't worry over. We've looked at the things we're worried about, opinions we possibly are worried about, and now I want to suggest that there are things that we don't worry about, but we should be. There are some things that we are so cavalier about, so easy about, we don't even pay attention to them. They have become so normal for us. We don't recognize how risky this is. If you want to back up and look at Matthew chapter 10, around verse 28, there's a few verses there that you will recognize. Consider the lilies, they toil not nor spin. We sing that song too. Think about the flowers of the field. They're not worried about what they're going to eat. They're not worried about what the next day will bring. They rely on their sustenance from their Maker. But within that same text, not far from those very verses, Jesus says also, don't worry about those who can kill the body, but you should be worried about him who can destroy the soul. And that is what may happen if we neglect or don't even notice these things that are so dangerous for our very soul, that they have become the normal. We didn't know how dangerous the pandemic was. There is a virus out there that could kill us, that could destroy us, and we can't even see it. So we're warned, take heed, take precautions, change what is normal. Normal is to not wear a mask. Normal is to go and hug and shake hands. Normal is to gather in groups and eat together and drink together and enjoy each other's company. But there's danger. So let's look at some of the things that possibly could have become so normal but are deadly serious for the health of our soul. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, the last verse, the word is the good news that was announced to you. Okay, I got to back up a little bit. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. These other things are going to pass away. The word of the Lord endures, and that word, that enduring word, is good news. I backed up there because look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, rid yourselves therefore. So for those reasons, get rid of all malice and guile, insincerity, envy, and slander. This is not a complete list, but I think we get the hint. These kinds of things, they're insidious, and yet they do become quite normal. And it has to do with the way we think and even the way we speak about our neighbors, our friends, about others. Malice is ill will. That's really how I feel. I might not even take any action, but do I harbor ill will towards someone else? Wrongful intentions, especially as I'm trying to read my writing here. Especially as having to do with the guilt of certain offenses expressed or implied. That's malice and slander. There's an offense, implied or real. And then what we try to do is make it a little bit bigger or a little bit more important. And you share that with someone else. Do you know what she said to me? You know what he said? Can you believe what he did? For the intention of reducing that person's estimation in your hearer's eyes. So maybe they thought this person wasn't so bad. Oh, you don't know him like I know him. You haven't had the experiences I've had. Let me tell you a thing or two. Trying our best so that the person will not raise the value of the other, but rather our intention is to bring them down. That's malicious, slanderous, even insincerity, pretending to be something, but not really meaning it. These are the things we should be worried about. These will kill the soul. So let's switch them out. Now that we're aware of this, we have to be ready and eager to say, okay, this is dangerous. I am going to create a new normal because I'm concerned about my health and the health of my community. I'm talking spiritually now. What do we do? First of all, recognizing here, as Peter said, the word of the Lord endures, and it is a good word. It's something you can rely on. It's good. It's not condemning. It's not guilt-ridden. It's not dragging you down. It's a good word, and it will endure. It's here for the long run, the long haul. That's what we should be longing for, desiring. If we have tasted, there in verse 3 in 1 Peter, if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good, then you're ready to change out these old habits, these dangerous viruses, get rid of that, and start new normal. The new normal, having gotten rid of those bad habits, I'm going to long for this pure milk of the word, knowing I'm standing before God, whose word I follow and recognize and cling to. And then look at Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 to 14. Because there Isaiah reminds us, the Lord is holy. The Lord is holy, and he is the one that you are serving. He is your master. He is the one whom you should fear and long for, knowing it's his standard that is the good word, longing for that good word. Amen.
Let us take our blue book and look at number 541. How clear is our vocation, Lord? It is us speaking to God, and it is a section in the book which is about discipleship and obedience. How clear is our vocation, Lord, when once we heed your call to live according to your word and daily
restored, that you are Lord of all, and will not let us fall. But if forgetful we should find your yoke is hard to bear, if worldly pressures fray the mind, and love itself cannot unwind its tangled skein of care, our inward life repair. We marvel how your saints become in hindrances more sure, whose joyful virtues put to shame the casual way we wear your name, and by our faults obscure your power to cleanse and cure. In what you give us, Lord, to do together, and adventures new, may we not cease to look to you. The cross you hung upon, all you endeavored done.
Please bow with me for the benediction. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us sing as a sending song, Somlandela. It's Sing the Story, and it's number 40, We Will Follow Jesus. We'll sing it four times.
Somlandela, o Jesu, Somlandela, yonke indawo. Somlandela, o Jesu, lafo eyakona somlandela. We will follow Jesus. We will follow everywhere he goes. We will follow Jesus. Everywhere he goes, we will follow. Somlandela, Jesu. Somlandela, yonke indawo. Somlandela, Jesu. Lafo eyakona somlandela. We will follow Jesus. We will follow everywhere he goes. We will follow Jesus. Everywhere he goes, we will follow.
To podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.